The story of two wolves. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. "A fight is going on inside me," he said to the boy. "It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued, "The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a moment, then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Thank you for the reading. As we go through today's text, the scriptures we will be using are Romans chapter 6, 12 through 23. And as I was going through these verses, the story of the two wolves is what came back to mind. And I know that in our men's study, the men have gone through Romans recently, and this was part of the discussion. But as we look at Romans 6 today, I thought it fit very well. We shall begin, as we go through this, to speak with God. God, I just thank you for the blessing of technology, for the blessing of being able to get together, to see one another, for opportunities to reach out to others as well. Yesterday was a great example, a positive time. And God, as we sit here today in digital church, as we think of the lessons that you continually share with us and your love for us, and God, I ask that you would take this message and you would speak it however you want, that you would allow each one of us to hear exactly what you have designed for us, and that we could hear it in our heart as well. And God, I just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The title is A Battle of Two Wolves. The question I ask is, in your world, who do you feed? Which element of your life do you feed the most? The list, and I'm going to say it again from the reading, evil, anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, ego. Are those a part of your world? Are those ones that you have come out periodically, or are they just a pattern in your life, or is it an occasional, oh, that happens? The second list, the other one represented by the story of the two wolves, is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. You know, you choose every day which side of this equation, which, to use the story, which wolf did you feed? No one else picks those choices but you. Is that a way of life? Which one that you choose? And this is something I ask you to reflect on and think about, not for the person on the screen, not for the person beside you, but for you. What do you take care of? What do you feed? Today, this message, the references I will be using are from a book, Romans by John Stott, an ESV study Bible, and a life application study Bible. And I do encourage you to go back and read these sections. We're talking about the second half of Romans 6. I encourage you to go back and read the entirety of chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. "Therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body so that you obey its desires and do not offer any parts of it, sin as weapons of unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourself to God and all the parts of yourself to God as weapons of righteousness. When it talks about do not offer any parts, do not let sin control any part of you. And you think, what would that look like? What would that be? And some examples would be alcohol, drugs, sex, eating disorders, addictions. Those are all components of sin, and you can think of your own. And I was thinking of me and my life when it says, do not offer any parts. As a diabetic, I have to, or I should, watch my diet very clearly. And if I see something that I would like to eat, I make a choice. Should I eat that, even though I know it's not good for me? But then I rationalize, oh, a little bit won't hurt. Is that something that we can think of in our life with our actions? If, oh, a little bit of anger was okay because they cut me off in traffic, or I can be frustrated because, do we rationalize and use our human thinking to excuse that particular side of the equation? We need to regard ourselves as dead to sin and alive to God. Don't let those things consume you. Let the side that God is for take care of you. Offer all of you to God. That was encouragement from verse 13. Offer yourselves to God. He doesn't want a piece. He doesn't want half. Doesn't want three-fourths. He wants all of you. And that's, again, your choice. You choose. Picking it back up in verse 14, for sin will not rule over you because you are not under law, but under grace. When we were under the law, sin was our master. It defined, and that's what we were under. The law does not justify us or help us overcome sin. But now that we are bound to Christ, he is our master, and he gives us power to do good rather than evil. Christ is there to help you overcome. You're not under the law. You're under grace that he has paid for. In verse 15, what then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Absolutely not. You know, that's comes into that rationalizing or human thinking of, oh, a little bit of this won't hurt. I can get away with this and it won't be a problem. Is that really true? Who are we feeding when we think that way? Which side are we looking at? Is this human thinking, is grace in this world, in this example, a get out of jail card free? Is it a pass? Do we think, okay, I can do that because I'm covered by grace? Who do you feed? Which side do you rationalize with? Where does your human thinking take you? In verse 16, don't you know? And if you take this week and go and read the first half of chapter 6 in verse 3, you will hear, don't you know? That if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, this is from verse 16, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. There is a number of places in history that talks about voluntary slavery. That's when someone offered themselves as a slave for food or housing, a place to live. They indentured themselves. They gave up their freedom. And in that world, you realize when you give yourself to that, you can't have both. You're either a slave to sin or a slave to God. You can't have it both ways. We choose. You choose. Each one of us make the choice to choose sin, with the ultimate outcome of sin is death, or obedience to God, which results in eternal life. That's the choice you have before you. We have this choice because of Jesus. Without Jesus, we would always choose sin. And if you think about your life before Jesus was involved, which one did you serve? Which one did you live with? Which one did you share or give an example of? But because of Jesus, we now have a choice, and it results in that choice is eternal life. Verse 17, but thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching you were transferred to, and having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. You know, we think slavery is definitely something we've heard a lot about in the news of recent. And it takes a very negative, and it is something that in our history is of humanity is not a positive. But in Paul's example, he's using this slave as a metaphor, if you will. You choose to be slaves to God or slaves to sin. The Christians will never live as slaves to sin, for God has transformed their hearts at conversion so that they will now grow in their love of righteousness and in living according to God's word. At conversion, it changed. Does that mean that I will never sin again or I will never make mistakes? No. Every day, we're still human. We will still fall into some of the same trappings, but we choose not to make sin our first choice, our second choice. We choose not to, even though we look and go, oops, and you repent and you change and you move forward and you work away from those choices of, in my case, using the example, maybe I shouldn't eat that particular piece of pie, or maybe I shouldn't choose to cut somebody off in traffic because of their behavior. Or, you know, we can look at a lot of things, but we make a conscious choice of what we're going to do. Get a chance, and when you're reading this week, you can also tie this together with Matthew 22 and verse 37. We choose which side we feed. Paul continues in verse 19, I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to moral impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. Giving yourself to God, saying, I can't do this, but I trust you. I need you. Completely turning your life over to Jesus, to allow your commitment to be Him first and always first. As a Christian is not someone who cannot sin, because we do, but someone who is no longer a slave to sin. If we choose to put Jesus first, He knows we're going to make mistakes. He knows that we're not going to be perfect because we're human. But if our choice is always Jesus first, He knows, and He's right there helping us along because we belong to Him. He bought us with His life. We belong to Jesus. Do we act like it? Do we respond to it? Do we enjoy the blessings of being in life with Jesus? Sin always brings destructive results in people's lives. It doesn't matter which sin you're talking about, somebody his hurt. It's never a positive when you make that your choice. If you make Jesus your choice, it's always a positive and it's always in love. As Christians, we have been given a new status and a new destiny. In verse 22, "But now, since you have been liberated from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which is a result in sanctification, and the end is eternal life." That's the prize. That's the thing we have to constantly be looking at, is it's not this life. It's what's in front of us. It's what's beyond this life, this eternal life, because it's been given to us by Jesus. And in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We know what sin will be. Death. The end result is death. With God, it is eternal life. It's a free gift, and it's not something we deserve, but it is given to us. You can tie in Romans 4, verse 16, Romans 1, verse 17, Romans 3, 21 through 4, and verse 25. 4:16, 1:17, 3:21 through 4:25. Jesus gives us free will. We are free to choose between the two masters. As the story goes, the two wolves. We cannot manipulate the consequences of our choice. Our choice is that. We know what those results are: death or eternal life. Who do you feed? Sin or eternal life? Thank you for joining us today. We love to hear from you. You can reach us at our website, gcderby.org, or on our Facebook page, Grace Communion Derby. If you have a prayer request, let us know. We will pray for you. We thank you very much for listening, and we ask that you have a blessed week.